Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program, also streamed on the World Wide Web at WHKWradio.com. This is Dan with my bubbly wife and Bible teacher, Sheeta Crawford. And as we should, let's begin tonight's program by asking for God's blessing. Abba, Father, we thank you and praise you for our many blessings, including those we are not even aware of. We pray for those particular prayer requests recently given to us, especially those with rare or terminal diseases that are currently afflicting those who are called by your name. We ask for your divine protection over our children and grandchildren as we stand firm against the evil one who tries to penetrate our minds with wicked pleasures, drugs, and alcohol. We ask for favor in our finances, that our burdens be light. Lord, we recognize that in and of ourselves, we are helpless and are nothing without you. But with you, we can do all things. So as the bride of Christ, we stand on your promise that you will never leave us, and that soon you will call us home for our wedding in heaven. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Thank you, dear. Well, as is often the case, the beginning of the year on God's calendar, Israel is experiencing a new wave of terror. But this year seems to be heading in deeper waters, and the Palestinians have declared that a third intifada has indeed begun. Although the typical attacks remain, as in throwing large stones and ramming cars into groups of people, they are now resorting mostly to stabbings. Such psychotic evil, in which plunging knives into the necks of Jewish women, children, and soldiers, and actually any Jewish civilian, is seen by them as a religious and patriotic duty, their moral fulfillment. And we and the United Nations excuse it as despair at the state of the peace process or the economy or Israel's fault. It's time to stop furnishing the Palestinians with lame excuses, which only justifies this demonic blood lust. Palestinians right now are in the midst of a campaign to knife Jews to death, one at a time. This is psychotic. This is evil. To call it anything less than pure demonism is to serve as an apologist.
And an accomplice.
Well, that's for sure. The last intifada was in the year 2000, also in the fall, as was the first one. An intifada means where normal aggression, which is pretty common, turns even more aggressive and lasts longer. This is not a surprise, especially since we did just finish the four blood moons, with the last super red moon occurring on the first day of Tabernacles,
which is also Jesus' birthday.
That's right. Those who study prophecy are expecting this violence to continue and to keep escalating. And as I have stated before, I believe that this new year is now Israel's real Shemitah. Oh, and I know there are those who think it was last year on the biblical calendar. But in reality, they could be a year off. That would mean, beginning next September on Rosh Hashanah, the new year begins, and I believe that's going to be a Jubilee year. Exactly 50 years from the War of 1967, or on their calendar, 5727.
So 50 years from that is 5777, which begins next September.
That's right. Pretty good numbers there, three sevens.
Now, wouldn't it be so fitting for the resurrection to occur in a Jubilee year?
It would be just like God. Very fitting indeed. But also remember, that would also begin Jacob's trouble. And perhaps even more fitting would be if before the end of that Jubilee year, which would be September of 2017 on our calendar, Israel is attacked, as stated in Ezekiel 38, when Jesus steps in and the Jews recognize their Savior, we're all are saved, like it says they will be. Check out verse 23 of Ezekiel 38.
And again in Ezekiel 39:22.
Oh, that's right. And if you also recall, there is a multiple prophecy that I've spoken on quite a few times from Rabbi Judah ben Samuel. Now, this was way back in the 13th century where everything he said has happened so far, which, by the way, is passing the test in my mind. Now, the very last part of his prophecy is still to be fulfilled, and he said that would be in the 10th Jubilee from when the Turks conquered Jerusalem, and that was in 1517, making it, if you do your math, 2017, which he says all Israel will receive the Messiah. Wow.
Wow, that's a lot to digest.
It is.
And what a remarkable scenario, and certainly possible. Now, you can read about this prophecy in our archived newsletter dated September and October of 2013 on shofarministries.net. Actually, that was a gem of a newsletter.
That's right, September and October of 2013. So get the year right. But they're all labeled. And you know, folks, I really do enjoy trying to figure out what God might do. And I could very well be wrong, but saints, it's the looking for the answers and the desire to search a thing out that pleases him greatly. Like he says in Proverbs 25:2, he hides a matter so that we can find it. He wants us to search, and he even provides clues for us all the time. Now, we don't have to be right all the time, but let me point out, and this is very important, preface your findings by saying, hey, this is a possibility from the studies that I've done. But if you say, the Lord told me or God gave me a dream, so it must be true, then if it does not happen, you are a false prophet and should never be called a prophet of God after that.
Yeah, if memory serves me correct, they stoned them for that in the Old Testament.
That's right. Jeremiah 23 talks about that. It's very grievous to God. Or this is one that false prophets say after declaring, thus saith the Lord, and it doesn't happen. They'll say, well, since we all prayed, God didn't do it. Today, this happens all the time in certain circles, and the church just lets it go. I must also say that in Deuteronomy 13, it says that if it does come true, with even miracles, signs, and wonders, but then leads you to worshiping a false god, don't follow, because we know Satan has powers too, and that's what he'll do in the tribulation.
This Friday at Cheston Christian Center in Chesterton, Ohio, is showing a video for the DVD night, for DVD night, that addresses situations like this. And that's at 11815 Chillicothe Road at 7 p.m. What else is going on in the news that intertwines with prophecy?
Well, so much is happening with Russia, so let's stay on that same vein. We should add that the War of Gog and Magog just got a little more tempting to Israel's attackers. And it's all spelled out in Ezekiel 38. The main character is Russia and Persia, which is Iran. For now, Israel, right now, just recently, has discovered a major, huge shale find in the Golan Heights that energy geologists estimate billions of barrels of crude oil are available that could make the Jewish state self-sufficient in oil for many years. Now, they've already found some oil, but nothing as big as this. It is certainly the hook in the jaw. And God has just revealed yet another clue to his soon return, especially to those who study the end time scenario. You have to admit, the timing is impeccable when looked at through the eyes of eschatology.
Of course, don't most nations, including the United States, regard the Golan Heights as occupied territory?
Right. Since Israel captured most of the Golan Heights from Syria during the Jubilee year of 1967, that Six-Day War, Damascus has consistently demanded that the Golan be restored to Syrian control.
Yes, and Damascus is doomed, according to what I read in Isaiah 17:1. Do you think that will happen before the tribulation or after?
Well, in verse 4 it says, in that day. So we know from verse 4 onward is Jacob's trouble. So verse 1 could be in the very beginning or just prior to the tribulation.
And you taught on this idiomatic expression and is still archived on our webpage in the radio archives dated 5/6/2014.
And it is titled In That Day. By the way, they're all titled. And I just read a famous end times author's explanation of the War of Gog and Magog. And it was pretty good, but ended with his realization that, well, we really can't know when this war will occur. And my heart just grieves that so many don't know that when it says in that day, as stated in Ezekiel 38 verses 10 and 19, it always means after the rapture / resurrection.
It's just that last 1,000 years of time to include the tribulation and then into the millennial kingdom. So 7 years plus 993 years.
That's right. That's the day is 1,000 years. And then we go into eternity, and I don't know what God has planned after that. He hasn't told us.
So the question was emailed to us yesterday asking what Russia's real agenda is in the Middle East.
Well, as I have said before, it's not just that Putin is best friends with Assad. Rather, it's domination and becoming a major military player in the region, along with Iran, to gain control of Middle Eastern oil. And don't forget that these two nations,
Russia and Iran,
right, have had the strongest sanctions implemented against them by the United States and the European Union, costing them billions of dollars in business. So even with the Iran deal that gives and will cause them to bring in mucho dollars, they both still hold a lot of animosity, and revenge is no stranger. So, could they have a diabolical plan to take over the entire Middle East, which could lead to an economic and financial collapse of some major economies like ours?
Economists say yes.
Yes, they do. And as well as China, you know, they have moved out of the petrodollar, and so has Russia and Iran. So if Saudi Arabia does that, we will be in great peril. And they have threatened Washington with that possibility due to Obama's alliance with Iran. But perhaps that's okay with Obama at the right time, because many believe he wants to take down America to make us more equal with the third world nations. One has to wonder, especially since things are often not what they appear to be. Perhaps our president is more than just aware of what's going on. Perhaps he is secretly pleased it's happening. And maybe, as many suspect, ISIS has all along been a created plant. After all, if you look at all the evidence, it does seem quite plausible. Did you know that our president's mentor and pastor of 20 years, Jeremiah Wright, says that Jesus was a Palestinian?
Now, that would fit the mold that we are witnessing with Obama.
Yeah. Most of the media thinks that Obama has the best of intentions, and he's just been outmaneuvered by Russia. But what if his intention all along has been to remake the Middle East to the advantage of Moscow? And, of course, its ally, Iran, that we just agreed to protect in this new deal. Think outside the conventional box. Could Obama be deliberately working against the United States' interests and in favor of the enemies of the United States and Israel? Americans often assume that Obama sees things the way most of us do. But how soon we forget where he came from. Who were his mentors and his parents? All had a Marxist bent. In order to understand Obama's Middle East policy, analyze the recent developments from the point of view of the Marxists, who totally understand Obama's way of thinking. Those who accept the mounting evidence that Obama has a Marxist perspective on the world will have to, at the very least, consider that his policy is designed to help Moscow and Iran achieve hegemony in the region. Oh, and do you remember what Obama said to President Medvedev of Russia in 2012 when he thought the mic was off just before his re-election? He said, oh, tell Putin not to worry, for after he is re-elected, he would have more flexibility. Well, tell that to Putin, he said, who would be president again of Russia very soon. And then, of course, we saw that he did. And do you remember the reset button? Well, it appears to me that a reset has, in fact, taken place. Just open your eyes and see Obama's strategic shift to Iran, who's allied with Russia, and his downgrading of relations with Israel and Saudi Arabia. Russia wants and is going to achieve more influence and control of Syria and its Mediterranean ports with a stronger political hand in Mideast politics. And Iran, too, as evidenced by sending its Revolutionary Guard Quds forces to help prop up Assad, and is constantly collaborating with Moscow on its strategies. A famous president once said that when anything of political importance happens, anything, it's all been planned before. And that was by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and I'm sure he knew what he was talking about. Anyhow, now for Russia and Iran to be geographically closer to Israel is just another hook to fulfilling prophecy, especially now with that great oil find in the Golan. There is a scripture in Ezekiel 36 that is also very interesting about these ancient heights, where God states that Israel's enemies will gloat about possessing them. And they did before. But Israel won it back in the 1967 war, as I already stated. And now Syria, with Russia at the helm, of course, won it back again. How does that expression go? There's oil in them their hills. As well as being very strategically located. And Dan and I saw that when we visited this area a few years ago. So, let's finish with the good news. We need good news. Jesus is calling his bride with the shout of the last trump very soon. And then while we are on our honeymoon in heaven, because of the horribleness of the tribulation, there is then going to be the biggest revival in all of history, beginning with 144,000 Israelites getting saved, and then soon more will accept Yeshua. They'll be called the Tribulation Saints, mostly due to our proper explanation of these events right now. And then, as a result of the war of Ezekiel 38, and it's called the War of Gog and Magog, Israel as a whole will get saved. Ezekiel 38:23 says so. But not just Israel. It says many from all nations, verse 16. And that would include Muslims, because of what they will witness as our Lord supernaturally protects the Jews and then intervenes with climactic occurrences in this war. Many will die, yes, but those who do accept Jesus will all be in the millennial kingdom when Jesus returns at the end of the seventh year with us, now his wife, Revelation 19:7. And according to Revelation 12, many Jews will have escaped to the area reserved for their protection till the tribulation is over. And then Jesus ushers in his messianic kingdom on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, also his birthday, as the Savior of the world. That first coming was to pay our debt for sin. This time, his second coming will be to rule and reign. It's a fantastic gospel. Don't grow weary. Keep preaching the good news. We are so very close to the glorious ending, to that final chapter of the book he wrote for you and me. You are going to meet that author. Don't you think you should read his book? Again, you must make Jesus Lord of your life if you want to be part of the future kingdom. Time is moving quickly. Be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate. How can you be sure? If Jesus is your betrothed one, you will have a desire to know him more, with a passion to be in his word, to be in his presence. In his word. I don't know how many times I can say it, because he is the word. More word, more Jesus. It's just that simple. Just do it. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, number 6:22 through 27. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'yinecha, Yisei Adonai panav v'lecha v'yisem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I want to say that keep praying for the peace of Jerusalem. He tells us that in Psalm 122:6. Sha'alu shalom, Jerusalem. And again, those who love her, they're going to prosper in all areas of life. If you have any questions, you can send them to Sheila at shofarministries.net. Okay, I've got just a few seconds left, and I just got this information, and I think it's important for you to see that just in time for Halloween, the new Church of Lucifer opens its doors on the 30th of this month in Texas. Again, just in time for Halloween. Why I'm telling you this is because what used to be like hidden groups underground doing this occultish type stuff is now openly allowed and thrown in our faces. Just like the gay movement has been doing. And again, if God doesn't come quickly and judge America, he is going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. So, bless you all. Till next week, shalom, shalom, and I love you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.